Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it, yes. They sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Well, hello and happy new year! Hey, everybody. Happy holidays. Hope you guys are doing great out there. This is a very special episode. We did a crossover with Mr. Brian Moreland of Vulture, also his own podcast called The 12 Gays of Christmas. We had to recap Kyle's movie, okay, on the Peacock. We had to do it. And who better to do it with than Mr. Moreland, Dame Moreland himself. All right. So please enjoy this very special episode. We love you guys. Thank you all you give us all year round. Have an amazing year.
Hello, everyone. It's Dame Brian Moylan. Welcome to a very special bonus episode of The 12 Gays of Christmas. I had to include a 13th and 14th Gay of Christmas this year because once I knew there was going to be a Housewives of the North Pole movie, there was no way I couldn't talk about it with some very special Real Housewives loving gays. So I hope you enjoy this little stocking stuffer. Merry Christmas. Your shitter is full. Hello and welcome to the 12 Gays of Christmas, where it's not just the mistletoe that's hung for all to see. I am Dame Brian Moylan, and today I am here with podcasters, housewife impersonators, Ronnie Karam and Ben Mandelker from Watch What Crappens. Ronnie, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Happy War on Christmas.
And Ben, Merry War on Christmas to you too.
Thank you so much. You know, even though I am actually a Jewess, I am happy to celebrate this holiday with all of my Goyim friends, including Kyle Richards.
Are either of you Christmas people?
Well, I was when I was a kid because I'm very greedy. Like, I love gifts. I love eating. Like, I like the food. As an adult, it kind of sucks because I'm single. Like, I'm always single. So it's like a lot of buying presents for people. And then you get their shitty little gift. And then they're like, well, sorry, it was a shitty gift, but we have children. And it's like, okay. So it started to seem a little unfair. But yeah, for the most part, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I get into the spirit of it. I get into the spirit of it. Even though I'm Jewish, I enjoy, you know, partaking in the holiday. I partake in the perks. Like, I don't really buy anyone Christmas gifts, which I really should reexamine because I'm always like, well, I grew up not like buying Christmas gifts. So it's not part of like my DNA. But I probably should buy gifts for people, but I get into like the cookies and I'm really into Christmas music, but really Christmas music from like 1995 and earlier. Cause I'm finding that post 95 Christmas music is all kind of like variations of Michael Bublé. And I'm not into that.
Is there any Christmas music that you like? Do you have a favorite song? Do you have a favorite artist? What are
well,
you thinking?
I mean, obviously All I Want for Christmas Is You is like the best ever, right? So I'm just going to take that out of the running because it's just too cliche.
Post 95.
Oh, post 95. There's nothing. There's been no good Christmas music after 95. Nothing.
What? Well, I'm just saying that All I Want for Christmas Is You is
post
95.
Oh, it is. Oh, thank you. So. Okay. Well, and then pre 95, I have an outsider choice, which is that I love the song by The Waitresses, which all of a sudden I'm blanking out its name.
Christmas Wrapping with the W.
Christmas Wrapping. It tells a story, a great story. And it's that is my hardcore number two favorite Christmas song of all time.
How do you feel about the gay who puts on All I Want for Christmas Is You at the gay bar in July?
I mean, isn't he always there? He's the same guy who plays like Chic C'est La Vie and then everybody screams, you know? I feel like we all know that guy, but he's really nice, but we secretly, you know, talk shit about him every time he presses play.
The first time we'd love it, but then, you know, I feel like 10 years ago we would have loved it, but I feel like there has actually been a whole sort of culture that has built up around that song in the past 10 years. Yeah. So now it's kind of like, it's kind of basic to do that, you know, but then again, I don't oppose it.
I like miserable Christmas songs. Like, Same. All I Want for Christmas yes. Is You is just like, it's so happy. I like, you know, Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart. The very yes. next day you threw it That's away. Like, I like that.
Top five.
I like for classic Christmases. I really enjoy White Christmas. Like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, but I'm in a foxhole and will probably die. Like, I'm into that kind of,
yes.
that kind of like yes. really depressing, just like real life. I like that kind of, I'm an Adele person. So like, I love somebody yes. who's just sad.
Or someone who takes the sort of like the magic out and replaces it with cold longing, like the Eurythmics version of Winter Wonderland. It's just like this very cold, emotionless version that I love.
I have on my Christmas mixtape an Annie Lennox version of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and it's like yes. crazy and I mean, Irish, and I like love
I'm
it.
Writing it down so I can get that.
My favorite Christmas song is Karen Carpenter's Merry Christmas, Darling. Do you know about the song? And it's
I don't.
Like her just like her man isn't there. And she's like, the light's on my tree. I wish you could see. I wish it every day. And it's like yeah. all depressing and 70s. And you can just see her starving alone in her living room.
Bless her heart.
You know, yeah, by her Christmas tree.
That's my kind of vibe yeah. for Christmas. I really like being sad. But I do also really like the Destiny's Child Christmas from a long time ago. I feel like that deserves some kind of special mention because that is pretty amazing. And that's happy, you know, but that's as happy as I'll get.
I have a free Apple download back when the iTunes store used to give free downloads. I do have one of Annie Lennox singing Noel. And it's like Annie Lennox in her late stage career where she has realized that all she wants to do is just kind of like groan out notes. So it's very much like, no. It's like this law. It's like a dirge. But then of course she puts the whimsical little lilting notes in the background going, no. It's just kind of like a disaster, but because it's Annie Lennox, of course I love it.
What do we think of Luann's Christmas song, What Do I Want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? What is it gonna be?
I think it's like, you know, I think it really taps into that person who loves karaoke, you know, like you love going to karaoke and you just don't care that everybody sucks, you know, it's like it's Christmas and it's okay if you suck. So I think it kind of brings us all joy because it reminds us of an office party.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it.
What do you think of it?
I can't even listen to it. And the Countess has some bangers. We all know she can't sing, but Chic C'est La Vie is a great song. Money Can't Buy You Class, great song. This, not great.
Not amazing.
I mean, even Girl Code is better than this song.
Yeah, it actually is. Girl Code is actually not so bad. I've sort of like revisited it and it's like, it's pretty good. This one's not great. I don't know. I don't know if I love this partnership with Billy Stritch in terms of the songwriting. Also, there's like that weird tone, that weird moment towards the end where she's like, what do I want for Christmas? World peace. And love and unity and a purse and jewelry and all the jewelry things and diamonds. And I'm like, okay. Just wants all the yes. material things.
And cars and trips and shoes and bags and gowns and jewels. Just you.
Do you have a favorite Housewives song? since we're talking about music.
You know, yeah, speaking of like ballady type things, they don't really have ballads, right? There aren't that many ballads. I mean, I think Danielle had kind of a ballad.
Yes.
I really like, just when I'm home alone singing, I really like doing a ballad version of On Display. I mean, that song, believe it or not, really lends itself to a ballad. And I love it. I sing it all the time in my house. So I'd have to say that one.
On Display is my favorite song. And can I bother you for a few bars of On Display as a ballad?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to Candace this up. But nobody needs to hear that. It's like one of the dog, the poor dog.
I can't
dog.
Nicki Minaj you into doing it.
No.
Ronnie, it's a platform. Fair.
Chris Bassett will run in here and take us down. I don't sing because I can. I just sing because I like to.
So I think, I don't know if this counts. If we're being a purist about Housewives, then I actually think Chic C'est La Vie may be my favorite. But if we're going to sort of like open it up to the entire Bravo universe, I mean, I think Good as Gold is kind of amazing. I like Good as Gold is just like, it is a banger. It deserves to actually have radio airplay. I think actually almost of all the Bravo songs, that is the one that should be on the radio. And it fills me with joy. But Chic C'est La Vie does too. And you know, On Display has aged very well. I think it sounded bad at the time, but I think it was just ahead of its time.
I feel like Luann's next cabaret show should just be all Housewife songs.
I would be into it. I think that her next Christmas song
that's
should
my
be
next
in the style.
Cabaret. That's my next. That's a great idea. I'm going to steal that.
I mean, look, Candace has offered up a very strong entry with Drive Back. I think that's actually a very, very good song. So like that's already at the top of the pack as well.
You can say a lot of things about Candace Dillard, but you can't say that she can't sing.
Yeah, I mean, Drive Back actually may technically be the best one. And like, and by the way, let's never forget the one that started them all, Tardy for the Party. I mean, that's a classic.
Candy Burris is a great songwriter. And what was her song that she sang when she was on tour with
I Fly Above?
Great that was song. Good.
Also, you know something that really, I don't even think this ever got made, but you remember, the ring doesn't mean
I was
thing.
Just about to say that.
Oh.
Whoa, whoa. The ring didn't mean a thing to
Why didn't that ever get made? I think that was good.
Well, that was a troll song. That was, I mean, let's not forget, Candy was like, fine, you're not going to give me any residuals. I'm going to make a song that's going to be so hard for you to sing that you will not survive this song. And it was such a difficult, sort of terrible song. And yet to this day, the moment someone says the word ring, I always, and this is not an exaggeration, I always think to myself, the ring didn't mean a thing.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Google Me. Click these keys and Google Me, the follow-up to Tardy for the Party.
Research me, you'll find me.
That one lives with like coffee and sex or whatever Ashley's is. That's sort of in that tier for me.
Coffee and sex is the worst one.
Coffee and love. Coffee and love. Yeah.
Simon Van Kempen's You Make Me Feel Mighty Real or whatever his song was. That was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad. And so many of these just have the visuals too, you know, like the Coffee and Love, you've got Michael Darby like having sex. Like I never want to ever see that in my head again. I don't want to hear anything to do with it. And then Simon Van Kempen in his red pants and then his stories of like, you know, climaxing all over his wife as she gave birth. I will never forget that. And I never, ever need to hear that song again or really see him ever again or really hear anything about him again.
Well, we are not here today to talk about Housewives music. We are here to talk about a very special Housewives movie, which is called The Housewives of the North Pole, which is airing now on Peacock. What did you gentlemen think of Housewives of the North Pole starring Kyle Richards and for some reason Betsy Brandt, who was nominated for an Emmy?
Breaking Bad. Yes.
Oh, well, not for this, though. For Breaking Bad. For this, she was nominated.
No, not for this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was, you know, it was obviously bad. But considering this sort of genre of movies that are like aggressively, almost intentionally bad, I haven't seen a huge amount, but I've seen several. I've seen Mariah's. We watched Holiday last year, which was actually not this kind of genre, but we thought it would be, and various others. I thought it was better than most I've seen, given that it was still a base level of terrible.
This was a pile of heaping crap. I cannot believe you. This was terrible. And I've watched so many Hallmark movies with my mother. I mean, she loves those. So every year I would come home to Texas and she'd sit there with the, you know, and we're both very cynical people. So to have the Hallmark there, like that's what breaks her of anything, are these Hallmark movies. So I thought this was going to be a Hallmark movie. So to see that it was Peacock, which I think Peacock is doing a great job in general of putting out quality content. The Real Housewives Girls Trip is fantastic.
Amazing.
But then this, it's like, why are you struggling so this hard to be as bad as Hallmark? You're Peacock. Make a good Christmas. It's almost it was a theme. Like, let's make a shitty Hallmark movie. You know, it felt on purpose. Yeah,
well, you are exactly correct. And I watched it. My parents were in London for Thanksgiving, and they are huge Hallmark Christmas movie fans, and they have never seen an episode of Housewives ever. And so I was like, we're gonna watch Housewives of the North Pole. And we watched it, and they were like, this is good for a Hallmark movie. So I agree with Ben in that there is a base level of badness, but of that badness, it's like floating on the top of the bottom of the barrel. If that you makes know what it is? Sense.
It's like, yeah, it's just like a hard poop versus diarrhea. Not to get too, I know Ronnie hates that, but that's kind of like what we're talking about here. And I will say that I thought, you know, there were sort of like two main stories going on. There was the story between, you know, Kyle Richards and Betsy Brandt and then their kids. And, you know, I actually thought like the little rivalry going on was like flimsy, but somewhat engaging. The problem was actually the kids' storyline was so dreadful and dull and boring. And I'm like, why are we watching these children? We are here for the Housewives of the North Pole.
Right.
And that neither to be dragged
these people
is
a housewife.
Down.
Like, unless neither this kid is being played by Shane Keough, I have no interest in seeing him shirtless making out in someone's garage, which I did enjoy. Which I did
a
enjoy.
A Christmas decorated garage, by the way.
Yes. And zero chemistry. Like, they really didn't even seem to be into each other, which is weird because they're both cute, you know, like you can at least act like you want a bone, you know, but it had all the Hallmark typical storylines, like the tentpole storylines, like you've got the evil corporation that's taking over this town and, you know, then they have to learn to resist the evil corporation. Of course, everybody in this movie is evil and gay. The evil people are, of course, it's like, of course, it's Alec Mappa playing like the evil gay who's trying to ruin Christmas. And then you've got like the obnoxious gays who are just trying to steal free food from the art place. But
yes,
then,
I noticed that, the obnoxious gays.
Yeah, and then you have the out of town stranger.
But you're right, all the gays are assholes.
Yeah, you have the out of town stranger that changes the lonely person's life around and makes him realize what Christmas is about. So it had all that.
Yeah. Well, it's no mistake. So the movie was that it's no mistake that it's such a Hallmark movie. It was directed by this guy named Ron Oliver, whose IMDb photo makes him look like a bald Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, no.
It also looks kind of like when Milk did RuPaul on RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know if you remember that. But that's what this guy looks like. And he's directed like every Hallmark Christmas movie, including one of my personal favorites, A Christmas Train, co-starring Joan Cusack.
Oh,
Unless that's starring Kelly Dodd, I have no interest.
Right? And it was written by Neil, Tippy, and Spider. Spider, with a Y, Dabrowski.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a whole bunch of Dabrowskis in the credits. I was like, oh, this is a Dabrowski joint.
It's like, is it a cult? Is it a Christmas movie writing collective? They have like dozens of these shitty Hallmark Christmas movies to their resume. Like, I don't know what sort of weird Dabrowski spider factory they live in, but
well,
I
you
do
not one and
want
you're
to
stuck
visit.
Forever, right? It's like everything else in life. You do one thing right, and you have to do it the rest of your life. It's like
my friend writes these
poor guy from Breaking Bad who has to be evil in everything. this guy Ron Oliver. So I looked him up. Wow, your description was so accurate. He looks like a Christmas ornament with big square glasses, like that fashion lady, that old fashioned lady.
Yes. Yeah, the old Navy lady.
Yes.
He looks like Uncle Junior, like, before The Sopranos.
He looks like a gay Uncle Junior. What he looks like. That's what, yeah.
He looks like he just came from antiquing.
Girl, I think she is the antiquing, you know what I'm saying?
No, I have to say this, Brian, before we even get beyond the title card of this movie, the thing that cracked me up that was so bizarre is that in all the marketing promos and like in the movie itself, it says The Real Housewives of the North Pole, and The Real Housewives is in Jurassic Park font. And I'm like, why? Why are we having Jurassic Park font? It's like, it's sort of like actually technically between Jurassic Park and Star Wars, but the point remains.
I mean, some of our ladies are getting up there, and yeah, also they are kind of monsters. So, I mean, it's not unfitting, but
it's a fair point.
Well, and then they changed it at the last minute to Housewives of the North Pole. No real.
Did they really?
Yeah. So the official title is Housewives of the North Pole, but
right, which features only two housewives, notably. Meaning,
well, yeah,
like,
there were some things about it. Yeah, there's some things about it that just aren't housewives. So they shouldn't have called it the house. I mean, I get why they would do it. It's like one of their properties. And, well, you know, I get it. But first of all, what housewife decorates their own house for Christmas? Nobody. They hire people to decorate their house. You think Kyle decorates her damn house? No. Glenn with the fat burger truck.
Where's Glenn and Faye?
Why haven't we seen Glenn? We didn't see Glenn all last season. Like, did Glenn get COVID or something? Where is Glenn?
I'm a little concerned that he got COVID.
Yeah, I'm going to put what happened to Glenn. I just love the internet. You know, I feel like such an old lady. I'm like, wow, I have all this knowledge at my fingertips.
We have questions.
What happened to Glenn from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Okay, carry on. I'll do this in the background.
This was a movie that I was expecting there to be several women, with Kyle Richards and Betsy Brandt at the lead, and it would be like a pack of ladies, and it would turn into a classic Real Housewives imbroglio. But it really wasn't that at all. And it reminds me of like that classic thing where someone comes up, like Kyle Richards probably pitched this to Peacock, and then they just assign people who've never watched Bravo to it.
Yes, it was definitely a title in search of a movie where, yes, someone's like, we should do Real Housewives of the North Pole and make it a movie, Christmas movie, but then
any research, yeah, about, yes, about really the universe they're going into.
While Ronnie is going down a Glenn rabbit hole, Ben, will you walk us through the plot of Real Housewives, Housewives of the North Pole?
I'm going to need everyone to listen carefully because it's very intricate. So we are in a town, I believe a fictional town called North Pole, that's in Vermont, which is actually not close to the North Pole at all. But, you know, we'll allow it. They clearly did not research Vermont either. So we're in this town of North Pole that has some relationship to reindeer, which are also not found in Vermont. And basically you have Kyle Richards and Betsy Brandt. Kyle's name is, what's Kyle's name? Betsy Brandt is Diane and Kyle is
Trish and Diane.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So Trish and Diane.
Which, I mean, if they weren't both named Karen, they might as well be named Trish and Diane.
So Kyle Richards is essentially playing like the true version of herself. Like, this is true Kyle Richards finally getting to be unleashed. Okay. And they are they're best friends. They've been best friends for years. Their children have grown up together and the children absolutely hate each other. Kyle Richards' daughter grows up to be a 38-year-old lovely lady, and the other one grows up to be a 21-year-old man. So anyway, so they are best friends, and every year they put together a holiday display because there is an annual Christmas display competition. And whoever wins gets something, not sure what, but
it's
accolades.
A gold reindeer because she has like 11 of them on her mantle. Yes. It's like a and gold reindeer trophy.
They're from Home Goods because I have those. They keep up the stockings.
There are no Home Goods in North Pole, Vermont. So this is really their only way to access those tchotchkes.
Or as they like to call it on this movie, homo's bad. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So essentially, they have every year they put together the best display in the town. But this year there are simmering tensions that come from a game night that goes awry when it turns out that Kyle Richards famously does not do game nights well, whether it's at Dana Pam's house, whether it's on Cynthia Bailey's night on Girls Trip, or whether it's here in North Pole, she always messes it up. And sure enough, she cheats and it creates a scandal that drives a wedge between these women and threatens to ruin Christmas, which is all the more complicated by the fact that a reporter has come to town from a publication called American Life that now is seeking to exploit the tensions in the town.
Yeah, because American Life is run by the gay guy who hates American Life. See, I mean, this whole thing—it's against us. The whole thing is against us. So this guy hates American Life, and he's sick of feel-good stories. So he just wants something clickbaity for everybody.
He's also the best part of the entire movie, by the way. Alec Mappa is the best part.
He's funny.
Oh, he's the best part of everything he's in.
He's great.
I mean, I can't believe they got Alec Mappa. Like, he was like, oh, fine, I'll do this.
We all have rent to pay. But then, we all have rent to pay.
Yeah. So then Sky, the 28-year-old daughter, and Jake, the very handsome, for my money, shirtless son of Betsy Brandt, fall in love. And then it's like Capulets and the Montagues.
And then at the end, everything... they realize that they've gone too far. Things have gone awry. Like Trish makes this declaration that she's just going to move out of town because things just get so bad. And then when it all winds up being splashed across Alec Mappa's super gay anti-American website, they realize they've gone too far and they come together and then their kids come together and it all is a happy, happy ending.
And the reindeer do come back to town where they are not at all native.
Yeah, enjoy the shit all over your streets, by the way. They've got like how many, 12 reindeer walking down the street. You know, nobody's there with a bag. And of course, the hot guy who's just like in love with Betsy Brandt for whatever reason. You know, it's one of those movies where it's like, I guess it's kind of like real life where you're single at Christmas and then you just look at the first person that walks in the door that's also single and you're like, oh my God, we have so much in common. Oh my God.
Well, it was so bad. It's like this guy shows up in Diana's art gallery, which first of all, I don't know if you've ever seen the What's Your Number movie with Anna Faris, but in the movie, she's a sculptor and she makes these sculptures and she goes at the end of the movie, she like finds fulfillment by quitting her job and opening a store that sells these shitty sculptures. And I saw it with my husband on one of our first dates. And what cinched it, what made me fall in love with him was when she opens the store, he leaned over to me and goes, nobody wants to buy those. And like, that is how I feel about Diana's paintings. They're like all these shitty Christmas paintings with like reindeer in them.
It's weird. It's weird and obsessive. Terrible. And there are things that even if my nieces came to me with those, I would be like, oh my God, so you're studying to be a doctor? Or like, I would never say go be an artist. Never in a million years.
It's like these Holly Hobby paintings. And remember those commercials when you were kids on TV that was like, come down to like to this place, to the whatever arena or civic center because it's a starving artist sale. And you just see this like really shitty art. And it's like they found a bunch of that art and then they painted these like Disney reindeers on them. So there's like reindeer sort of like impose on this art very strangely. And it's an entire gallery full of it. And her whole thing is that she just loves painting reindeer and she hasn't seen the reindeer. So she hasn't found her muse. And then she has, for some reason, this really bothered me just from like a film production standpoint. She has like an office area that's like up these stairs with such a claustrophobically low ceiling. I'm like, you guys are a movie production. Why could you not find some place with a higher ceiling?
Also, this is like, that like ceiling, now that you mention it, what really pissed me off is the popcorn ceilings. I was like,
it's popcorn too.
And was it Betsy Brandt being like, I need her to be more real. Like, she's an artist. I want her to have low ceilings with popcorn on them. Like, it needs to be popcorn. No one's going to buy me in this role, you know?
Betsy Brandt was going method with the like HGTV before shot like artist studio.
They just told Betsy that, do what you want.
Their son was like too tall to stand in that space.
They cut all the extra footage they have of Betsy like doing lines off the reindeer in the back or whatever. They're like, all right, Betsy, we're gonna make this a story about a woman addicted to drugs who is the only person with a popcorn ceiling in this fancy town. Okay.
Did anyone anticipate? So Trish and Diane are like now competing to have the best display because traditionally they always did it together, but now they're competing. And at one point, like Betsy has a snowman and then she snaps the ear off of it. Did anyone else be like, oh God, it's going to be Vincent Van Snow. It's going to be Vincent Van Snow. And then like the next scene, it's Vincent Van Snow. Did anyone else anticipate that? Because I was so proud of myself.
Proud of yourself?
Yep.
100%. I was like, oh God, she's going to like...
Because she's an artist.
I saw it coming, much like listening to Simon Van Kempen. It was very much like the same kind of knowing what was coming, as it were.
Oh God, literally.
Would you rather make out with the hot sun or the hot reindeer guy?
Reindeer guy, sun, by far.
100%. I mean, the sun is just, there's no question about the sun, you know? And I mean,
the sun looked like Jessica Tandy. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, another hottie. Okay. I'm down for that. I'm down for that too, Jessica. See you up there.
Are we talking like Streetcar Named Desire Jessica Tandy or like Cocoon Jessica Tandy?
I don't even care. I'll do all of them.
The full range. He'll even do a Tandy computer.
I'm glad you gentlemen don't need to compete over
never.
The boys. That
no.
is,
they never
is
do.
Nice for me to hear. I mean, it's a hard choice. It's a hard choice. I
what
don't
about
know
you?
Which
I thought, the,
your
I thought
son,
the guy
right?
who came to town was just so... He was so cheesy and like, oh, I'm from out of town. I follow reindeer around for a living. It's like, you're creepy. Get out of here with your bad wig and your weird smile. Get out of here, Eddie Cibrian.
The son?
Cibrian.
No.
Wannabe, get out.
He is very Eddie Cibrian looking.
Which is, by the way, that's like a compliment.
He's on like an NCIS or like one of those. I looked him up. Oh. Not that I was looking for shirtless pictures.
I looked him
Instagram.
Up too, and I saw the pictures as well. I thought the son was... I thought he was very blah, and I did not like that he strung Christmas lights up on his like weightlifting bench. I thought, I was like, you're a little deranged, sir.
Well, I mean, he's just like obviously hot. You know what I mean? So
yes,
of course you pick him because he's like legitimately the cutest because he's like 20 or whatever. So it's not fair. It's like, hey, do you want cookies or cookies? Like, I want cookies. Give me the fucking cookies.
But he's also super judgy. Okay. Because so he has this relationship. Well, he and the girl, it's Sky and I forgot what his
Jake.
Name is. Jake.
Is
Sky
name.
And Jake. So they start like, they start falling in love over the course of like literally 5 or 6 days. We know this because every single day leading up to Christmas is marked by Kyle Richards turning a little block. And so we know this love affair, like it gets to a point where they're saying that they love each other. And then at one point, Trish, she needs like a Blitzen. She needs like a little reindeer Blitzen. It becomes an issue. So she sends Sky to the store. There's like this Christmas store. She sends Sky to the store to get a Blitzen reindeer. And so Jake is there and Sky's like, I have to find a Blitzen for my mom. And he goes, oh, you're turning just into your mother. I was like, excuse me, Jake, you need to settle down a little bit. Okay. She's just picking up some shit for her mom.
Yeah, these two are way too close to be dating. Like, there's way too much history between these two for their relationship to go well. And they also both seem like they're not at good places in their life for opposite reasons. Yeah. Like, yes. He can't find a job, and she's, like, burnt out on studying too hard, and yeah.
Yeah, they're a good couple because they're just, like, so boring, you know? And I feel like boring people really make it in the world. I learned that as a waiter. I've told that to Ben many times. Like, the happiest people are the people who have, like, nothing to say at dinner. They just, like, sit there and swipe through their phones, and they come back year after year happy as hell, you know? And I feel like that's these two. They're just super boring, and they'll last forever. Oh my God, when they went ice skating. Seriously, fuck this town, by the way. This is the worst town ever. I don't know if this is supposed to just not make people want to move to Vermont ever, but how do you ice skate in, I mean, it was like a two-space parking area. You
yes,
know?
My father was like, that's not an ice skating rink. It's an ice skating postage stamp. And I was like, fierce read from Mr. Moylan. I mean.
Agreed.
It's true.
That's when I decided I wanted to marry your father, when he leaned over and said that to me.
So what did you think of Kyle Richards' acting ability?
I actually thought she was pretty good. I thought like, you know, I mean, she's not, listen, she's no Meryl Streep, She's no anything Streep. But I actually thought she was pretty good. And I think she actually got into the character because it essentially was Kyle. Like, she was like, there was a moment where she was doing some crazy flash mob thing, and she was like doing this dance. And I was like, I believe that Kyle Richards would do this. I believe Kyle Richards would show up at someone's gallery and do a crazy dance and take all the people out of it. You know, the way she got there were some very Kyle Richards moments that she just really nailed. For instance, Sky stays over with Jake one night and she's like, oh my God, I've got to sneak in. Otherwise I'll get in trouble. And when she sneaks back in, Kyle is like, where were you? And she's like, Kyle just doesn't even pay attention. She starts prattling on about herself. I was like, that was so Kyle. And she really made me believe that it was Kyle.
I was surprised her acting was so bad because she's been an actor for so long. I thought she was terrible, but she did have good parts where she was very Kyle-like. Like when she got mad or said something bitchy, those were very good lines, I thought, good delivery. And also she kept adding her weird laugh in there, like her, like the Kyle laugh got in there. And I thought that was very real because it was real, you know, it was like her laugh, but especially not next to Betsy.
Yeah. Well, Betsy really brought it.
I love when they first meet the reporter and she walks away and Trish and Diane are standing there together and Kyle says, her handbag, fake Fendi. And Betsy goes, how do you know? She goes, because I have a real one.
You see that purse?
Yeah.
Fake Fendi.
How can you tell?
Because I have a real one.
It's actually very Dorit Kemsley, but it was also very Kyle Richards.
And you know that that Trish goes down to Boston because that's like the closest city. And she like gets a Fendi and then she comes back. She's like, hi, ladies. Yeah, got a Fendi because I went to a city. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a city. Also, it got super weird because at first her character was one thing. And then when it got to that line and she was bitchy about someone's purse, I was like, wow, she became evil. Because at the beginning she was, she was like a nice person and a good friend. And then all of a sudden she was like that. And I guess they had to get their Real Housewives attitude in there. But I was like, is she nice or not? I need to know. I can't have this on the fence.
I just want to say that Kyle also had a line that was so, that just like summed up Kyle Richards so much. She, in the middle of the feud, she's like venting about this issue she's having with Diane. And she goes, she accused me of being pushy and demanding, but I thought she liked those things about me. And I was like, that is so Kyle Richards.
That is so Kyle Richards, master producer of all Real Housewives. Yes.
I'm so not terrible. I just thought I was catering to your needs.
What do you think are the most Housewives moments in, stereotypically Housewives moments in the movie?
The Fendi part was probably the most truly Housewives moment. And you know, I mean, there's something to be said about Kyle trying to steal that Blitzen thing from the nice old lady. Although that's more of the stereotype of what people think the Real Housewives is all about.
That was funny. I like that. And then when they had the fight in front of the Christmas tree and Kyle was really going for all the low blows, you know, she said,
yes.
Like Betsy said something like, your tree is fake. And she said,
big like the boobs on your ex-husband's new wife.
And then, you know, the throw of the drink in the face was obviously kind of stereotypical. But it seems like they put a couple of those moments into like a regular movie to call it Housewives. I need like six women scheming about like, I don't know, how to take down Santa or...
These are the moments that I thought were the most Real Housewives-y. Because I agree with you, everyone always thinks of Housewives and thinks of like throwing drinks. And so when they start this big fight, Trish throws a drink at Diana. But I mean, other than there's actually been very little drink throwing on the Housewives.
Camera judge, maybe. But yeah, it's not like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but these are things that seemed really Housewives-y to me, which is, when Jake and Sky bring their mothers together to reconcile without telling either of them, and then it goes horribly. That's like very Real Housewives, like attrition luncheon.
Yeah, the whole I accept your apology. And she's like, I never apologized. Yeah, that's very Housewives.
So Housewives. That is also so Housewives. Also, Ben, you mentioned this earlier. Kyle Richards, Trish, whatever, goes out in front of Diana's gallery with carolers to get the customers to go away. And it was very Kenya more hair care.
It was.
Kenya more hair care. Yes.
Yeah.
But the most Housewives thing about this movie is that Trish is living on credit and actually has no money.
Yes.
That is the most Housewives thing. that is happening, that was, intentional or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. That was like it was a low key thing. They would sort of like touch on that, and I was sort of like not paying attention. But then, like, when it culminates with her just yelling at Betsy Brandt, "I'm leaving. I'm selling my house." I was like, that also had like a weird Housewives thing, because there's something sort of like showy about it, very performative. Like, look at me. I'm gonna like upgrade to a better house, right?
No, you know, she was saying, I'm gonna, because she couldn't afford her house, and she was making her husband take all these extra jobs. And
no, I know why she was doing it, but I'm saying I can imagine her sort of saying in a way that she wants people to think that she's gonna get a mansion in like Montpellier.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she was gonna be moving. She was gonna be moving down, and that that husband storyline I thought was very Housewives too. Like the husband who just can't be there for Christmas, sorry babe, and then you see her talking on FaceTime with him, and you just know that there's some hooker, you know, in the bed next to him. Yeah. It's like, whoops,
it's
gotta
very
work on
Michael
the
Darby.
Very well. The guy looks like Mauricio, and her daughter in this looks like Alexia, right? Not Alexia.
Well, and then
Portia's the
in it. Portia's one of the Girl Scouts. Yeah,
Portia is definitely Portia. She's a terrorizing Girl Scout.
Yeah. Also, I liked their like random accents that they would get, because Kyle's name was like Trish Rivera. And so she said a couple of words that were kind of like ethnic or whatever. So she'd be like, "Oh, really? You like the water?" Or whatever. She would do that thing where like Kyle has an accent for two words. And then her daughter would do it too. And the husband would do it too. It's only like two or three words in the whole movie, but I was like, where'd that come from? Oh, that's right, she's a Rivera.
I also liked moments where the writers didn't quite realize really what they were saying, because at one point like Santa Claus throws a snowball at like Kyle, I believe, and someone yells out, "She just got pegged by Santa." I'm like, you might want to rethink that phrase.
She just got pegged by Santa.
No, I think that they knew, because they replayed it 10 times in a row. They're like, and now this person watches that clip of saying pegged by Santa. And now a person on the other side of town is watching that clip saying pegged by Santa.
So what did you think of the Housewives cameos in the movie, other than Portia?
They were fantastic, and I wanted more of them. It was such a delightful, like, it was four of them, right? And I have to say, Sonia was great. It was so wonderful seeing Karen. But I have to say, Lisa Barlow was a surprise to me, because, you know, Salt Lake City is newer. And Lisa Barlow, you know, I feel like if you were going to go to Salt Lake City for a cameo, you would think it would just be Heather Gay. So the fact that it was like Lisa Barlow doing, and she had the longest one, it felt like, because she was like, "Wow, can't believe it. They're in a feud. This is going to cause a lot of money to come to town," or whatever she said. I was like, this is
but
great.
You know, half of that was just her ad-libbing, and they were like, just keep it. We need to add a couple of minutes on.
Yeah, but right, because Lisa Barlow, like, couldn't stand script. I just can't believe that they got a dead person, Cynthia Bailey, to do one. I mean, R.I.P. Cynthia Bailey.
Did they just fire Cynthia in the last 5 minutes? I mean, what happened? Like, she's on Girls Trip, she's on this. I feel so bad for Cynthia. Like, what happened that they were just like, you know, "We've been shooting 2 days, you're fired"? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like. It's like, okay, thank you for doing this Christmas movie and Ultimate Girls Trip. You're fired. They're coming out in 5 months.
I know.
Like, thanks.
I thought Sonia was the best, though. I thought she was she was surprisingly a good actor. She was like just kind of natural.
Yeah, and actually, I have to give a shout out to our friend Hannah, because Hannah got her first ever movie role. And she was the girl at the end of the Housewives montage, because it was like all these Housewives. And then it was Hannah in a coffee shop being like, "Did you hear about Trish and Diane?" So congratulations, Hannah. You made it.
Is that Hannah Brown
good
you're
job,
talking
Hannah.
About?
It's Hannah Brown.
Oh, good
yeah.
for you, Hannah Brown. It, Ben told me, "Did you see Hannah?" And I was like, "Ferrier? What was she doing in there?" I was
they just brought in a balloon.
That's why I said. That's why I said I didn't remember. I didn't recognize her in the brown hair.
Oh, that's next year. It's like Below Deck Mistletoe. Mistletoe Below Deck. I don't know.
A very yachty Christmas. Are you yachty or nice?
Oh. Yachty or nice, yeah.
We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back talking more about the Housewives of the North.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian, eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With Paul. Welcome back to the 12 Gays of Christmas. I'm Brian Moylan. I'm here with Ronnie Karam and Ben Mandilker. We're talking about the Real Housewives of the North Pole. And I thought it was time, in the spirit of Watch What Happens Live, to play a little game. Are you boys up for a game?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Okay. I'm calling this game Secret Santa. And what I'm going to do is I am going to name for you a Real Housewife. And you have to tell me what you are going to buy her for Christmas. And whoever has the better / shadier answer gets a point. Okay. And the winner gets a golden reindeer from Home Goods.
Okay.
The first one, obviously, is Kyle Richards. Ben, you get to start.
I am going to get Kyle Richards. What do I get Kyle Richards for Christmas? What do you get the woman who has it all? I would get her a box set of all the movies that Kim Richards was ever in, and just to see her react.
I would send her a case of LVP Rosé.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, you gotta go with that one.
Ronnie wins
that one.
Ronnie, you get to go next. Speaking of which, what would you get Lisa Vanderpump?
I would get Lisa Vanderpump a fur, you know, those fur things you put your hands in,
a muff,
that looked like muffler. Kind of like that tiny Jiggy dog fur, you know, because she'll always have her little Jiggy there.
Okay, Ben.
I think I would get Lisa Vanderpump a little white rabbit, because since she's always dressing like a magician these days, I think this way she can like finally, you know, step into the role she has been like preparing for the past 3 years.
A rabbit in a hat.
I would buy her a ticket to Yulin, China, but Ben wins.
I think you went on that one.
That's an expensive gift.
I appreciate the sympathy one, but you went on that one.
Ben, what would you get for Jen Shah?
Oh my God, for Jen Shah, I think that what I would get her are all sorts of receipts that remind her of all the great things that she has bought for people to help them. That's what I think I would get for her. Just a reminder of the good she has done for her friends and her family and for Stu, because that is what she does. And for all her fellow Hawaiians and for every critter in the state of Utah, Jen Shah for president.
Ronnie.
Easy burner phone.
Ronnie wins.
VPN, maybe. A VPN.
Ronnie, what would you get for Candy A. Stillard?
Candace Dillard. Salad. I'll just send her a salad in a box.
Just a bag full of salad.
Yeah.
Just a bag of salad.
Ben?
I would get her a lifetime supply of Puffs tissues, and as well as like a little origami book. So that way when she makes her, she doesn't have to just stick to just like a tissue square. She can make like a tissue crane or a tissue kite or like a tissue frog.
I like that.
She can really just mix it up.
I wish I had answered after you so I could say, like, you know those things that they use to fold clothes in a gap? You know, they have like a thing so you can fold it easily. Maybe like a tiny version for like her little
for her, tissues.
Her little triangle thing.
All right. It is currently 2-2. Here's the tiebreaker and final housewife to buy a gift for. And it is Ramona Singer.
Oh, my gosh.
The gift I would get for her is really a gift for all of us, which is maybe some adult diapers.
Yeah. Squatty potty here. Squatty potty. It'll change your life.
I think we're going to give it to Ronnie, even though what you should have said is a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. That's what we should have gotten for Ramona.
Mask,
maybe. An actual K95 mask.
Or maybe...
as opposed to a Hannibal Lecter crystal clear thing.
Oh, my God. That mask. I had nightmares about that mask.
The Meredith one?
No, the Ramona Singer, like, clear one that goes over her mouth.
Yes.
That, like, hangs from her ears. The cable guy showed up at my house wearing one, and I was like, where did you get that Ramona Singer mask? And you need to leave immediately.
I know. It is kind of scary getting used to seeing people without half their face, but it's way scarier having to see their breath. Like, that's disgusting. Yeah, that's, I don't mean that.
It is.
That is disgusting. It's like wearing a terrarium on your face. That's like what it looks like.
Terrarium. It's literally like the scene in Jurassic Park where the T-Rex comes up to the car. Like,
God, you're obsessed today. You've got some You need to go watch that new Netflix Jurassic Park cartoon thing that they have on there.
I will.
So at the end of the episode, I always ask everybody, do you think that this is a Christmas movie? Do you think that Housewives of the North Pole is a Christmas movie, Ben and Ronnie?
Yes, it is a Christmas movie because there are CGI reindeer in a geographical, illogical place coming around for no good reason, creating a Christmas miracle for all. And Betsy Brandt gets choked up. And for that alone, I say it's a Christmas movie.
I think it was a Christmas movie. I don't really think any lessons were learned. I mean, they just decided to be friends just because they were like there.
Yeah.
It's like there was no real reason. They were like, well, I guess our kids are boning, so we should be nice to each other again.
I mean, but it's like the most recent season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, they're hanging around together because they have to. Not because they like each other.
Yeah.
I would wager that there was a lesson that was learned, because one character that we have literally not discussed at all is the plucky reporter who arrives in town, and, you know, she came in town to write a lovely piece about, like, humanity and America, and then Alec Mappa, you know, was difficult to her, and she quit her job and was like, you know, some things are more important than a paycheck. Okay,
yeah.
So even if I do show up with my oversized old timey camera to take a picture of Kyle Richards getting into a fight with an old lady, there are things that are more important.
Yeah, but I would argue that she was still a good person at the beginning who didn't agree with doing this dirty story in the first place. So she didn't really have a change. You know what I mean? But I will give it the Christmas movie stamp of approval. I have to give them something for the effort and the music. I mean, this was some of the most obnoxious music I've ever heard in any film ever. And it's because they went out of their way to create 37 original Christmas songs that they played incessantly. I mean, it never stopped. And they were all the same Christmas. Dun, dun, ding, dun, jingle, 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 jingle. Christmas wrapping, kisses wrapping, Christmas wrapping. It's like every single one. I wanted to kill all of them, but I was like, wow, that's a lot of originals to push out for a movie.
This is a lot of dedication for a fake movie that only exists on Peacock.
No, also, I think we should give a shout out to whatever PAs and you know, like, set decorators, set designers were out there who had to, like, haul that big, those giant mounds of fake snow. Every household had, like, 6 feet of snow over. I was like, this is, okay, we don't, like, we get it. It's snowy, but you're also, you know, this is a lot.
No.
It was a lot. And those same PAs didn't do a very good job decorating their houses.
They did not decorate the houses. The houses sucked. I was like, where are the judges to come on here and say, this is not even, what is this? What are you doing? You've ruined Christmas. Your decorating sucks.
I have seen the Great Christmas Light Fight, and this was like, wouldn't even get cast on that shit. I mean, it was.
No, never. Betsy Brandt was shitty, by the way. Her little Vincent Van Snow display was objectively shitty. Kyle's was like, okay. But yeah, those were not award-winning displays. But then again, we don't know what the other houses were like in this shitty town.
Apparently terrible, because they won anyway. You know, they won despite. But also, we didn't see them team up. You know, I think it should have had something where they decided to come together the end and like team up so we could actually see a good one, because we just saw their secondary work.
Maybe that was supposed to be the point. They were supposed to suck. But they still tried to make her a winner. So...
yeah,
who knows?
And also, how about that moment at the end? It's just sort of like they're like, what should we do with these two kids, by the way? Oh, I know, let's send them to Africa. It's like, okay, I'm gonna go. Hey, mom, by the way, I've decided I'm gonna teach in Africa. He's just gonna go to a continent, country unknown, location unknown, just go into a continent and see where he's gonna land.
Yeah, just in case they were good people, guys.
He took off to try to find Glenn. That's what he did. He was like,
oh,
I'm going to make a podcast about finding Glenn. I think
there was a South America option in there, too, in case Africa did not work
out. Yeah, they were like, there or there. You know, somewhere with starving children. Yeah, anywhere with starving children. Okay, so update on Glenn, guys. Glenn's still alive. I don't know what happened to him on Beverly Hills, but he has been on The Hill's New Beginnings as himself.
No.
And it says the last time he was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was 2020. So that's something happened over there. He got Cynthia'd over there.
Wow. He just wasn't connecting anymore.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Glenn.
Wow. Well, hopefully he'll come back.
Would you watch another Real Housewives Christmas movie? Housewives of the North Pole Part 2.
I don't know if I voluntarily would, but that being said, again, I thought this was better than I was expecting. That if there is another one, I want it to be truer to the Real Housewives. If, you know, if the three of us need to be enlisted as creative consultants, so be it. But I want it to be like a group of women. I don't want to focus on two boring kids played by boring actors. Sorry.
Yep.
Hate to really say that out loud. You know, they're youngins starting out in life, but no, they're bad actors. And I want it to be an ensemble of middle-aged women. And I want it to just be basically dinner parties and pettiness and feuds. That's all I want.
Agree.
Yeah,
I want it to be all Real Housewives. Like, there are enough actresses, wannabe actresses, that every character in this movie could have been a housewife or a housewife tangential.
Who would you cast? Yeah. Who would be? Lisa Rinna would be good, obviously, because she's an actress.
Yes.
Right?
Harry Hamlin.
Mm-hmm. Candy Burris.
Candy Burris. Maybe NeNe Leakes. Who's, I mean, not great, but serviceable.
She could do it. I don't know if anyone from New York has the acting chops. Maybe like a weird casting. Luann, or maybe something strange like Carol Radziwill, just sort of like lurking through, like,
Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
I've come a long way too, Santa. It was a marathon.
She's the ghostwriter of Christmas Past, let me tell you. I want Shane Keough in there, my once and future husband who tried to have an acting career. I mean,
mm-hmm. Heather Dubrow. I like all the ones Heather that Dubrow. Pretend that they were
actually,
actors.
Yes.
Actually, Heather Dubrow would be a really good choice.
I think it would be fun. All the people who pretend they're actors in real life, you know, like Kyle, Heather, Sonia, Luann, NeNe.
Gretchen
Rossi.
NeNe
is a real actor. She's done a lot of real stuff.
Lisa Vanderpump was on Silk Stockings.
Vanderpump,
Gretchen Rossi was tapped for Hot in Cleveland, too, don't forget.
Candy Ass has been in some things, so Candace would be
Candace would be a good one. I don't know if there's anyone on Dallas.
Not Giselle. I saw Giselle in this commercial. She's on some commercial. Have you guys seen it? Well, it's like a Twitter commercial. It's so bad. It's so bad. I need to find it. So not Giselle.
I can see Karen Huger having some untapped acting potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can too.
And we need to get Michael Darby to produce it since he's now a movie producer.
Yes.
Or Randall Emmett to produce it. We could get Lala in there.
Yeah.
How about Joanna Krupa? Formerly of Real Housewives of Miami. We had her on our show once, and she was really promoting the fact. She was like, she didn't want to talk about being a real housewife. She just was like, you know, I'm like an actress now, and I'm in a new film with Armando Sante and Rob Gronkowski.
I would like Rob Gronkowski be in our Christmas movie, our Housewives Christmas movie.
He's allowed. He's in.
I mean, absolutely. I think Kyle Selig would be great. He played the son in this film. Let's say give Kyle another chance, guys.
Yeah, we can bring Kyle around.
Let's give. What about Avery Singer? Remember, she did audition to be in a film in her first season. Remember, she was auditioning to be a role opposite Meryl Streep.
No, Ramona Singer sang on Girls Trip. You know what? My daughter Avery, when I became a housewife, she said, "Mom, I'm the one who's supposed to become famous. Me." So I never want Avery Singer to find success in anything. I want that to be her storyline for life, that Ramona is just always falling into whatever success that Avery wanted for herself.
What about multi-hyphenate Kenya Moore?
Exactly. Kenya? Garcelle Bouvet, also an actress.
Yes. Garcelle. Yeah. Or Eileen Davidson.
Eileen Davidson. Oh my God,
yeah.
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
She's already doing them. Denise is already, she's already in the machine.
I mean,
not Brandy.
I want Dorinda to show up just to say, "I cooked, I cleaned, I made it nice." That's the other thing I wanted. I wanted some more like nutcracker fights. I wanted some more, don't be cool, don't be all like uncools. Like,
there wasn't a single dinner party. There was no dinner party that was destroyed.
And there were no other housewives. No. It can't just be two ladies who were nice to each other except for this 1 hour in time. You know? It needs to be like eight.
Yeah, there was no, like, the classic thing in The Real Housewives is that two people are feuding and the others are sort of like caught in the crossfire, or there's like domino effects and people trying to bring them together and then it falls apart and then other accusations come out and it just sort of like, it goes out of control. And that was not here. By the way, Camille Grammer also, you know, she should be in the mix as well, even if it's just sort of like a dancing scene.
There is enough here that you don't need to waste Betsy Brandt as your secondary housewife. Listen, also, poor Betsy Brandt, that this is the best she can do.
I know. That's what I was saying. Like, next year, just let us do it. We'll do it. And then I'll just send Betsy, we can like get some GoFundMe going and just send Betsy Brandt a check so she can pay her damn rent while she's waiting for her next big role.
I think that's a good idea. I'm actually genuinely excited for our fake version of this movie. Like the idea of like Heather Dubrow and Kyle Richards and Eileen Davidson and Garcelle Bouvet and Candace Dillard is et cetera.
Santa comes down the chimney and Heather can just say, "I'm going to have to ask you to leave."
And Tinsley Mortimer, don't forget,
is Shannon Bedore, and she just has a bowl with 9 lemons in it. And it'd just be like all these, like, she'd go to Yolanda's fridge, steals 9 lemons, puts them in a bowl, and then goes down Eileen Davidson's chimney. It's just like a fever dream of like housewives in jokes.
Well, I thought that Santa could use a low-cal snack, so instead of cookies, I just put out some lemons.
Oh. Just for once, I'd like to be the one not bringing the gifts.
Ben and Ronnie, thank you so much for being here on this very special episode of the 12 Gays of Christmas to talk about the Housewives of the North Pole. Please tell all of our Christmas cherubs out there, Christmas cherubs, where they can find you all the time.
Well, we have a website, watchforcrappins.com, which has links to everything you could possibly need. But our Instagram is at watchforcrappins. Our Twitter is at whatcrappins. I'm at Ben Mandelker. Ronnie's at Ronnie Karam. And on top of that, we're going on tour next year, and we're going to 21 cities, starting in New York City. It's going to be amazing. So if you want tickets, go to watchforcrappins.com.
Are you excited to be back on the road and with the people?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy excited.
Excited, scared. It's a whole new world out there, like masks and, you know, all the like regulations and everything. So I've been at home for 2 years. So a little scared, but excited. It should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun.
I mean, you should mandate everyone has to wear Ramona masks, clear Ramona masks.
Can you imagine just looking out on that? Just a bunch of shiny little creepy
condensation.
And then they like slowly fog up over the course of your show. So I just want to give a quick thank you to everyone who has subscribed, rated, and reviewed 12 Gays of Christmas. Unless you gave us a bad review, then I'm going to dump your sprinkle cookies right in the trash. And be sure to check out other podcasts from The Dip, including Hot Off the Mess with Samantha Bush, Morgan's Pop Talks, Exposed, Dragged Out, and so many more. Visit thedip.com where you can get more pop culture commentary and analysis. That's The Dip with two P's. The second P is for AtlantaPeaches.com, and follow them on Instagram at The Dip. Of course, you can find me at Brian J. Moylan everywhere books are sold. And thank you for listening to the 12 Gays of Christmas. We cooked, we cleaned, we made it nice.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.